Hi, everyone. Welcome to Dr. MC's Self-Care Cabaret Podcast. I'm Teresa Melito Connors, a doctoral-level educational administrator and mental health practitioner focused on helping you, our world's helpers. Every day, we have a choice to prioritize our well-being, to incorporate reflection, recovery, renewal, and resilience strategies into our lives. However, those of us who step up and serve our communities in healthcare, education, nonprofit spaces, and more can struggle with putting ourselves first. I've seen this firsthand, and it's a challenge. Enter Dr. MC's Self-Care Cabaret Podcast. Here, we have real, intimate conversations with leading experts passionate about accessible, sustainable self-care in its 10 domains. It's all about the hard work we can take on together to find our spotlight. And today, our episode is going to be centered around meditation. And before we dive into that, I just want to talk a little bit about meditation. There's a lot of myths and misinformation circling about this really important self-care topic. So I want to talk about a few of them. First of all, if you've never meditated before, it's important to remember that it's okay to start small. 2 to 3 minutes, and you can feel a lot of benefits, even with just a short amount of time. You may recall an earlier podcast episode called Don't Feed the Trolls, where our guest talked about her 1 minute meditations before she dives out of bed and goes into her day. She just takes a minute to breathe and meditate and just slow the traffic in her mind before diving into her day. And even with just that 1 minute, she feels benefits. Pretty cool. There's also some misconceptions that, you know, meditation is difficult and how can you shut down every thought in your head? And that's just not true. We tend to make things more complicated than they really are. There's also a myth that people feel like you have to have this really long, dedicated practice and it takes years and years to experience benefits. And that's not true either. You typically will feel benefits pretty much immediately. Of course, the longer you practice and the more regularly you practice, those benefits may increase over time, but you certainly will feel benefits early on in the process. Another myth that I've heard is that, you know, meditation is uncomfortable. You feel that, you know, you have to get down on the floor in the pose with your legs crossed and all of that. And that's not true either. You can really meditate in any position. You can do it lying down or sitting in a comfortable chair. Of course, if you want to get on the floor, you certainly can. But you can also do walking meditations, guided meditations, standing meditations. So many opportunities. You shouldn't be uncomfortable when you meditate. Another one that I hear that's a myth often is that, you know, meditation requires special equipment. It doesn't. It's just you and your body. You don't need anything else. And then my favorite myth of all time is the ever-present, well, I don't have time to meditate. I hear that a lot when it comes to various self-care practices. And really, it comes down to priorities. Here's the thing. You have time to scroll on Facebook and do other things that kind of waste your time and aren't really feeding your soul and attending to your needs, then you have time to meditate. It reminds me of a quote. It's something like, if you don't have time to sit and meditate for 30 minutes, well, then you should sit and meditate for an hour. So, you know, if you tell me you don't have time to meditate, I think you can make some time. And again, remember that it can be small amounts of time, 2 or 3 minutes, even just 1 minute. So I'm so excited to dive more into meditation and share some really exciting things with you with today's guest. And today's guest is Ofosu Jones-Korte. He is a balance meditation coach who has been meditating for more than 20 years. And he has been teaching families, children, and adults for the last 14. Pulling from his experience as a father of four, an electronic music and hip-hop artist, children's book author, and more, he enjoys infusing humor and fun into his meditations. He believes that meditation isn't just about sitting still, but rather it is living practice that can be done anytime, anywhere. And be sure to stay tuned after our interview as we have a special bonus meditation led by Ofosu himself. And without further delay, here is our conversation.
Hey,
thank you so much for joining me here today. I'm delighted to chat with you.
Absolutely. It's wonderful to be here with you, Dr. MC. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
And as you were saying earlier, you dropped a new single today?
Yes. Released a new single today. It's the first single from my upcoming EP. And the name of the song is Omani Padme Hum. Mm. It's a pretty popular mantra. And I'm super excited about it. It's very like open, vulnerable record. I've got the words of the Vietnamese Zen monk Thich Nhat Hanh, who passed away last January. I got permission to sample some of his words throughout the song. So, and we included documentary footage of him in the video, and the video is really beautiful. Anyway, I'm just kind of on cloud 15 because it's finally out and it's been received well so far. So I'm happy about
that. That is so cool. And I can't wait to hear it.
Thank you. I'll send it to you after the show.
Yeah, thank you. And we have a special bonus meditation of yours to include at the end of this interview also for folks to get a little more ofosu in their lives, because why not, right?
Why not?
So the way I like to start and ask my guests, their first question is always, how do you like to practice self-care?
How do I like to practice self-care? Well, it begins with how I talk to myself.
Okay.
That's the first thing. Like, what is the language that I'm using to relate to myself? So the first step of self-care for me is positive, nurturing, honest self-talk. Because you can be feeling, if you're feeling, maybe you made a mistake and you're feeling bad about yourself. Okay, so it's not like you pretend that you didn't make a mistake. You know, it's like, oh, well, this feeling is valid. But as soon as it starts to veer into like, harmful or unnecessary territory, then like, you know, you kind of rein that back in. So that's like on the negative side. But on the positive side, just doing my best to talk to myself the way that I would talk to a friend, you know? And having developing that kind of kind self-regard. So that's first. I also practice self-care through practicing meditation is a huge part of how I take care of myself. Oh, should I just go? Should I just keep going? Because there's a lot of things.
Yeah, tell me all the things.
Okay. I'll go, let's go from the traditional to the esoteric. Okay, so yes, beginning with positive self-talk, essentially, my meditation practice, being able to talk with my wife, talking with my partner, you know, about like how I'm doing, how I'm feeling, talking with my therapist. Sometimes we talk frequently, like once every 2 weeks or something like that. And sometimes we go months where, you know, everything is basically cool, or, you know, it just depends on what's up. But I've had a regular relationship with my therapist for a long time. That's been fantastic. Visiting spiritual places is a way that I take care of myself. Talking to wise people, connecting with people who are smarter than me and have more life experience and it's kind of inner depth than I do, learning from them. Creating, being creative, writing songs is a big way that I practice self-care. Tattoos, getting tattoos is another way
that I take care of myself. Who has used that example.
Okay, fantastic. Yes, tattoos are also a big way. Being in nature and listening to music, I think, and being around my family. Being around my family is a huge piece for me too. So that was a long answer to your short question.
No, those were wonderful examples though of self-care. And here on this podcast, I like to give folks, and in my work when I'm presenting and giving workshops, telling people like they don't always think of like those basic things as being self-care and how much they really matter to you to make the time for your relationships, to make the time for spiritual practices, whatever that means to you, to take the time to create or move your body in ways that feel good or meditate. Like, these things are all important. Sometimes people are like, well, what am I supposed to do? Just like get spa days and mani-pedis? It's like, no. that's not self-care. Yeah. So those were wonderful examples. Thank you for sharing that.
Hitting my punching bag and lifting weights. Those are also I'm definitely going to do that as soon as we get off. So those are, being physically active also.
Sounds like you have a lot of really wonderful foundational practices, which doesn't surprise me at all, considering the work that you do. Awesome.
Yeah. I try to make it your life, you know?
Exactly. So tell me a little bit about the journey from hip hop artist to meditation coach.
Yeah. Well, I just had this conversation with my mom because it's my mom who introduced me to meditation just this way of relating with the world when I was very young. And I got her story, and it's a very long and it was kind of an intense story, like what led her to her spiritual journey and her meditation journey. But yeah, I'm an only child. My mom and I are very close. Same. She used to take me everywhere. Oh yeah, so you know how it is. So yeah, so my mom took me everywhere when I was a kid. And when she would go to practice yoga or meditation or chanting, I'd go along with her. I just got the bug. And I did have the freedom to explore different practices and traditions and religions when I was a kid. I'm really grateful to my parents for just having that open attitude about those types of things. Cool. And then when I met my then girlfriend, now wife, in college, not long, after a couple years after us dating, she was pregnant with our first child, Sundara. And my mother-in-law is also a meditation practitioner and teacher. So my wife and I kind of bonded over that. And I went to some of her mom's retreats. And so I got the meditation bug early. Then I got it again later. And then having a baby made it something felt like I should kind of devote myself to this. Like this would help me in my journey as an adult and in my journey as a parent. I never had any ambition to be a teacher. Somebody hit me up today, like, how do you get a job like that? I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. Like, what I do know is that meditation and my spiritual practice are very important to me. That doesn't mean that I'm like a flawless human. It just means that my practice is important to me. And so it's always been important to me. And it just through a series of coincidences, I ended up co-teaching a family mindfulness class. It was literally like the neighbor was a teacher at the Insight Meditation Community of Washington. We met on the bus. We just struck up an accidental conversation because he was reading a nerdy meditation magazine. And I was like, hey, I read that too. And then we just struck up a friendship. And then just visiting his class, he invited me to be a co-teacher. And 20 years later, and that's how I started. I just was just volunteering, co-teaching a monthly family meditation class. And something that I really wanted to have it to do for my family and to do for the community. And it evolved over time. And this was before mindfulness was like
trendy.
Yeah, for lack of a better word. Yeah. Before mindfulness was trendy, this is when mindfulness was still considered like a fringe kind of, weird thing or a religious thing, So like I watched the sort of sea change in the attitude about it happen. And I was swept up in that change because I was just doing it, off to the side. And then I worked well with young people. Yeah, and so then opportunities were there for me to teach in schools and people just kept asking, do you want to do this? And I just kept saying, yeah. And then
that's awesome.
Over time. But as a hip hop artist, I've been rapping for the same amount of time that I've been practicing and close to the same amount of time that I've been teaching, really. A little bit earlier because I started in high school, but yeah, hip hop. So one thing I did have ambition to do was be a hip hop artist, and that's how I thought about myself. Always, I always thought about myself. My identity was an artist, not a teacher. Not when you ask what do you do? Like I worked as a paralegal for a long time, but who I was in my heart was an artist. So that's just. That's how I thought about myself. And in that social, intellectual, professional dichotomy, I really kept those worlds kind of separate. Even though my music still contained some of those themes, the themes of mindfulness, spirituality, etc., my lifestyles were very different. One was a very like hip hop lifestyle, sure. And one was a very meditation lifestyle. So a lot of times it was just like things were incongruent, and it just felt like I was always jumping out of one world into another. So over time, I just had to accept, you are a meditation teacher. Just deal with it. It's like, okay, fine. You are also an artist. So that is also true. Like, okay, fine. So why don't we just start making art that doesn't require you to get out of, to get off your meditation cushion per se, you know, like you can. So I've just been working this experiment of consolidating both of my worlds where it doesn't, where it all kind of feels seamless, and I'm communicating one thing, no matter what it is I'm doing. That thing is, you are enough. Yeah. Just love and appreciate who you are. Take care of yourself, be kind to yourself. And from that self-kindness, everything flows, yeah. You know? So yeah.
Beautiful.
Another long answer.
I think we may call the episode "You Are Enough" because I love that. And
fantastic.
I love how you've managed to weave the two worlds together. Like, I can even see that in, you know, checking you out on Instagram and seeing what else you got going on. I'm like, wow, this is really cool. So nice job.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
It's very exciting. It. So I'm wondering if you can talk a little bit about the Balance Meditation app. And because there's a lot of different meditation apps out there, and I know you're specifically a coach for Balance, which is awesome. Can you talk a little bit about that app and like how is it kind of, what sets it apart from other ones?
Yeah. So, you know, what's interesting is that from being a teacher and learning in like quote unquote traditional ways, I was very skeptical about meditation apps, you know, like,
sure,
just like, what, you know, somebody's going to be just talking to you in your ear and you don't get any, you know. And I think in many cases, kind of rightfully, you know, that's not for me to say. In a lot of the different apps that were out there just weren't like my taste, okay. You know. And so when Balance reached out to me, I was just like, oh, is this like, is the hypocrisy about to enter? Am I about to just do this to be doing it, but like not believing in it? But what I really found to be the first thing is that the people who work at Balance really believe in what they're doing. It's the purpose of Balance is to help the world. You know, the purpose of Balance is to help people feel more mentally fit and feel happier and to live happier and healthier lives. And that's like, not like a, that's not a gimmick mm-hmm. for them. That's like the mission. So I was really positively taken aback by the genuineness of the CEOs, CFO, and just everybody at Balance and all the people there too. Once I went and met all the people who make it happen, you know, everyone's like on the same mission. So that was really beautiful. So just from a behind the curtain perspective, it was wonderful to know that like, oh, people could be making a tech product, but their heart is really in it. Okay. But then how Balance actually works is also really fascinating, because the idea, which is my point, is that meditation is not one size fits all, you know? And what something that is can be like an entry barrier for people is that, you know, you come to like a retreat or you go to some place that you got to sit for an hour, or you have to follow rules, or it has to follow certain kinds of rules, or it has to look a certain way. You have to do things a certain way. And I was so like rigid in my meditation practice in my early years that it was harmful to me, actually, and that I actually stopped practicing sitting meditation for several years at one point in time in my meditation journey, because I was just pushing myself too hard and I was trying to live up to a standard that was really impossible for my everyday life as a new dad, as a young person, as a working person, as, you know. So Balance is like, hey, we can adapt to what your needs are, what your core goals are. Not everybody comes to meditation for the same thing. Some people are coming to reduce anxiety. Some people are wanting to, you know, teach their bodies to be more calm so they can sleep better. Some people are coming to meditation to learn about the nature of reality. Some people are coming to meditation to develop a loving relationship with themselves, or, you know, and or all these different things. So balance asks you, why are you even doing this? You know, what do you want to get out of this? And that's like starting at the end, you know, it's like, what would you like to get out of this? And then you tell balance what you'd like to get out of it. And then it customizes what it offers you based on that. Cool. And I think that is just really, really beautiful and special. And Leah and I record literally thousands of meditations so that balance can adapt.
Yeah. Wow. No, that's really cool. And I think, you know, you bring up a lot of points. There's a lot of misconceptions out there about meditation and myths about meditations. And, you know, just having that, like, what is the reason, like, what are you hoping to get out of it? Like, I love that. Even if somebody doesn't want to use the app, but just wants to even just ask themselves, like, why? Why am I doing this? What do I want out of this? Did you hear the news about our exciting new offering from the Self Care Cabaret? We're calling it Talkback. If you're familiar with the theater space, you may have participated in a talkback before. After a performance, the cast and crew will come back on stage to chat with the audience and answer questions. Think of it as a casual guided discussion. Inspired by this and by popular interest, we've come up with a talkback for the Self-Care Cabaret podcast. Groups will listen to a podcast episode or two of their choosing, then I'll come and lead your discussion either in person or virtually of those episodes, expanding on the big ideas. It's a great option for groups looking for short, impactful professional development, or smaller teams looking to get an introduction to self-care and well-being. We have done a few of these so far, and let me say, they have been so much fun. So if you're interested in bringing a talkback to your group or organization, email podcast@drmcselfcare.com. And now, on with the show.
Yeah, it's an important question, and I think... being asked that question offers the user a certain amount of like respect and says that, hey, we care about like why you're here and you let us know and then we'll work with you. And I also appreciate that as a meditation teacher, they respect what Leah and I, if something that we are putting together could be said a little bit differently or offered, you know, just that it's an entirely inclusive process of creating the content and the meditations on the app. And so it doesn't feel, it never feels like you're phoning it in. You know what I mean? Like I always feel like I get to be myself and just really offer from the heart.
Yeah. That's awesome. We don't want you phony doing meditation. That's no good. That's going to be counterproductive. Man,
exactly. Exactly.
So I'm wondering too, because we talked a little bit about like misconceptions and myths. Like, what's the number one myth you hear about meditation that kind of makes you crazy? You hear all the time.
Oh, I can't meditate because I can't stop my mind from thinking.
Okay. That's a good one.
People feel like I can't make my mind be quiet. And that the idea that meditation means stopping all your thoughts. Yeah, because like I'm always like, who told you this? Like, what Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movie did you watch where you got the idea that you had to stop your thoughts? Like, even Splinter would say that's not right. What to do. You don't have the mind. You can't really stop your mind from thinking. Right. You know, the mind thinks the same way the heart beats. You know, the same way bone marrow secretes red blood cells. It's a function of the mind. The mind secretes thoughts. You know that, and sometimes it does it at a rapid pace. Sometimes it does it at a slow pace. But like, So the thinking mind is not a problem. Yeah. You know, it's getting lost in those thoughts or believing every thought, you know, feeling anxiety about thoughts, which is a big one for me. You know, that's part of my issues with anxiety, et cetera, a lot of it came from intrusive thoughts. And so, you know, people have a really complicated relationship with their thoughts, but we don't really have to. They come and go, you know, and you don't have to have a perfectly quiet mind to meditate. You don't have to make your mind be quiet.
No, really important Thank you for sharing that. It's definitely a myth I've heard before too, and I'm certainly not a meditation expert at your level, but and I'm always like, no, that's not what we're trying to do here. Like, I end a lot of my lot of my workshops with guided meditations and that kind of stuff. Guided meditations are my favorite type of meditation. So I'm wondering, leads me nicely into my next question, is what's your favorite type of meditation?
Oh gosh, all of them. It just depends on what's up. You know, I really enjoy silent meditation. Partially because that's just how I kind of came into the game. Sure. You know, so it's my default. But I also really enjoy guided meditations when I remember, like, oh, hey, I could. So during the pandemic, when it was just a tough mental health time for everybody, myself included, I actually listened to myself I actually did guided meditations, listening to myself on the Balance app just to hear some external positive talk, you know, from my own voice.
Yeah, no.
Because it got kind of dark during the pandemic, and things were very uncertain, you know. So I would guide myself. It was a little meta, myself in.
But I like it. I'm into it.
Yeah, it was a nice way for me to experience myself, like, outside of my own head. And I listened to Leia on the app too. And I enjoy guided meditations. I really love loving kindness meditation. Yeah. Practice sending love to yourself and to others. I love body scans. I love doing a self-compassion or self-kindness body scan. Yeah. Where, you know, you're just moving through the different parts of your body, but you acknowledge them, you thank them, and you just offer them some love and an opportunity to relax, you know, head, neck, shoulders, arms, legs, hands, torso, back, feet, you know, but each stop along the way, you're just like, oh, thank you, arms, thank you, hands, I love you, hands, and then, you know, keep moving through. You'll just never feel bad.
Yeah, no. So true. That's why I work with a lot of educators and other helping professionals. So when I'm doing workshops, it's usually, you know, to a group of teachers. They're tired, they're frazzled, they're burnt out, they're overwhelmed, whatever. We're not going to talk about that. But so I'm always like, I love to like end with a guided meditation though, and then like send them out like just into the world afterwards. They're always just like, oh my God, thank you. Like, I don't know what happened halfway through. I could like really feel it. Like, it's just like they always, like, no matter what, they just feel good afterwards, and it's awesome.
And there's always a skeptic in the room who's the one who comes up and says, like, I didn't want to do this, but this was the best thing that I could have ever done.
100%.
Funny. I also like sound baths. I'm sitting behind all my singing bowls, so I might as well, like, so fun. I love, you know, I don't know if y'all can. Oh, I can't. Oh, here, maybe this will come through. I'll just.
You know, they can't see you, so but here's one it's of my very bowls. Cool.
They can't see you, but they can hear. Maybe they'll hear this.
Yeah.
Oh, no. Do I have original sound off? Oh, gosh. Hold on. Yeah. All right, we're just going to do that. We're going to retake that. Here we go. Yeah. One of my bowls. Anyway, I love a good sound bath, too.
Sound healing is something I want to get a little more into. I have a small singing bowl, and I also recently bought tuning forks. Have you ever used those?
Oh, nice. That's like the next dimension.
Yeah, I'm really into it. Like, I bought them, and like, I don't know. I'm going to get on YouTube, figure it out. But I was like, I don't know, it just was calling to me. You know, sometimes you see this stuff. I saw somebody, a post about it, and I was like, what is that? That's so cool. I want to try it.
Singing bowls were a pandemic purchase. I got one, and then the collection just kept on growing. There's like 10 behind me. That's
awesome. That was a crystal one, right? Yeah, beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's awesome. I'll let you know how the tuning forks go.
Okay, please do.
So how do you recommend, you know, someone get started with meditation? Maybe they've never done it before and they're feeling a little skeptical. Like, how would you tell someone to get started?
I would say that if you are curious about getting started on your meditation journey, take it real light, make it really short and simple. Like, even if you're listening right now and you're curious about it, you can just take a moment, notice the feeling of your feet against the ground or your body making contact with the surface beneath you. Just notice that your body is breathing. Maybe open your ears to any sounds that are around. Check out what's happening in your mind in this moment, if there's a lot of thoughts or a little. And then just maybe say something kind to yourself, whatever would be helpful for you to hear right now. And just that little process is like, you know, just a nice little micro meditation. And, you know, and if you like that, if you're good with that, then you can just do that some
absolutely
more.
Absolutely. And that was not even a minute. That was like 30 seconds. It's like,
bam. But you're in the present moment. It's so a huge revelation to me was a teacher named Chaz DiCapua. I was volunteering at this retreat one day, and he was like, you know, just bring your attention to your left foot for a second. And like, he was like, raise your hand once you've done that. And everybody raised their hand. He's like, see, that's all it takes to be mindful. It's just attention. It's not force. It's not, you know. So I'm getting a little bit ahead. I think that what would have been helpful for me is somebody telling me, like, go very easy and make it so kind of incredibly short and manageable that it feels almost too short. So do a minute, do 3 minutes, five tops, you know, of any simple meditation practice. There's tons of simple practices to engage with on the app, you know, in our singles. We have plans that you can do. But just, you know, if you just want to kind of get a flavor for it, just, you know, just sitting and trying to keep your attention on what it feels like to be breathing for just a couple minutes, or, you know, just noticing how your body feels or noticing sounds coming and going, whatever can help you stay present for a short amount of time. Just be in the present moment for a few moments and in the moment for a few moments and get out of it and be like, okay, that's enough. Because some part of you will be like, hey, that wasn't enough. I want to do some more. And then, you know, you'll gradually build a practice over time. The worst thing is to like set the bar too high and feel and then turn meditation into another way to judge yourself.
Sure.
You know, I would say make it so simple that it feels too simple. Make it so short that it feels too short so that you're like, oh, I can do more. I want to do more. Let me explore a little bit more. And I would say, you know, an app like Balance can help you just dive in immediately. And you could talk to any, or if you know anybody that practices, that's a, you know, you can connect with them and say, hey, I'm thinking about getting on this journey. But no one gets to define your meditation journey for you. You get to define it. And my suggestion is start small, start simple.
I love that. I think that's great advice. And that's definitely aligns with what I try to tell folks too. I'm like, you know, don't sign up for some 30-day meditation challenge that's like 30 minutes at a time. You're not going to do it. And then you're just going to feel bad about yourself because you didn't stick with it. So stop it.
Exactly.
Don't do that. And now I have you to back me up.
I got you. Yeah. Don't even start that. Gosh.
Awesome. And what, you know, I find with a lot of self-care practices, and I'm guilty of this too from time to time, you know, they're the first thing that go out the window, like as soon as life gets in the way and things get a little chaotic. So I'm wondering, you know, with meditation, how do you help, like, keep, when you're teaching, how do you help keep people on track when they, you know, they claim that, you know, life got in the way, or how do you kind of keep yourself on track?
Yeah. Life will get in the way, and meditation is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Hopefully and you're actually not trying to, well, it depends on what you're coming to it for, but it's not like, it shouldn't be super results oriented practice. You know, it's a way to develop a relationship with yourself. You can have goals in meditation, like we were saying before, reduce anxiety, reduce stress. But those changes happen almost imperceptibly over time. And really keeping up with your practice is what gives your mind and heart the room and the space and permission to change over time. That being said, I think that self-kindness is so important, is the most important companion for us on any journey, including the meditation journey. My hack towards self-kindness is to think about what you would say to a best friend or a loved one who was in the exact same situation. If your best friend or loved one said, man, I was really on my meditation journey and I fell off the wagon and it's been a month since I've practiced and I kind of don't feel worthy of practicing, or I don't even feel like I want to, but I kind of feel like I'm starting all over again. Or, you know, like, what would you say to them? Most people would be like, this is not a big deal. It's okay. Just, you can bring yourself back to it. You don't have to go at the rate that you were going before, but you can just start off light and come back. Yeah. There's no problem. There's no judge. No one's looking down on you. You know, like, just come back to it. It's not a problem. If it's important to you, you can come back to it. No big deal. But we make it such a huge deal in our minds when we...
Oh, we do. It's true. Beat ourselves up and...
Yeah, when we commit some kind of arbitrary perceived error that, like, no one's holding us to task for that, you know? So self-kindness. What would I say to my friend who was feeling the same way that I'm feeling right now? And I would say, this is not a big deal. So like, just say that to yourself. Actually, it's not a big deal. I can come back, and I don't have to go big. I can come back small and then gradually rebuild. And that's perfectly okay. So I think expect that life will get in the way, because it does. Don't beat yourself up for life getting in the way. You can always come back, and you can come back at a reduced rate and build up again if that feels good. On the other end of the spectrum, don't set yourself up to fail. So just like you said, don't say that I'm going to do a 30-day, 30-minute Oprah's Book Club meditation challenge and, like, you know, and I'm going to run a mile, meditate for 30 days. Some people do those, but, like, not me. I think, like, keeping it manageable for yourself. And that's what it is. Like, nobody gets to tell you what your journey is. You know what's manageable for you. And it's not, meditation is not one size fits all. So if 5 minutes every day is manageable for you, then that's it. That's perfect. You know, because drop by drop, the bucket gets full, yeah. You know? So
I love that. Drop by drop, the bucket gets full. I love that.
Yeah. Don't overextend yourself, you know, do what you can do. Yeah.
Thank you so much. That was beautiful. Beautifully said. So last but certainly not least, how can folks find you if they want to connect with you on social media or your website, all that good stuff?
Oh, thank you. Thank you. So for all things meditation, you can find me on... So the Balance app first, you can go to balanceapp.com and, you know, like, you can put me right in your pocket. I'm pocket size digitally. And you can find me on Instagram @balance. Very simple. And for my personal stuff, for my music, all my other meditation work, like retreats I'm teaching and stuff like that, you can find me on Instagram @borneimusic. So that's B-O-R-N, the letter I, music. And for music and more, you can go to borneimusic.com and find all the stuff that I'm up to. But I'm pretty active on Instagram, and my website's got all the latest things that I'm doing. Awesome. So those are the best ways.
We'll make sure those things are linked in the episode notes and for folks thank so you. They can connect with you. And thank you so much for all you shared with us today. This was excellent. So I appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for doing this podcast and adding this type of service and goodness to the world. And the last thing I will say is, life is difficult enough, so don't make it more difficult by being mean to yourself. Please do your best to be kind to yourself. That's just the thing. Like, anybody who's listening, I know how easy it is for us to talk down to ourselves and to kick ourselves and to think that we're not doing the best that we can, but life is difficult. So just talk to yourself the way you would talk to a friend and be kind to yourself, please. That's like the beginning, and everything kind of flows from there. So
100%. Yeah. Well, thank you for that and for those kind words. I appreciate it. Ofosu was so much fun to talk to. I loved his reminder at the end about be kind to yourself, so important, and that you are enough. He had such great foundational self-care practices and just reminders for us all to keep it simple and not be too rigid. And his tips for inviting more mindfulness into your life are just perfect. Powerful episode. I think this is an episode folks will return to again and again. Be sure to keep listening for a short self-esteem meditation led by Ofosu at the end. Thanks so much for listening. I hope you're feeling more energized and empowered. And if you like what you heard today, subscribe and leave a review for this podcast on your preferred platform. Follow along on Facebook and Instagram at Dr. MC Self-Care and Dr. MC Self-Care Cabaret on LinkedIn. You can also visit my website, drmcselfcare.com, for the latest updates and to sign up for the Cast Party, my e-newsletter. And if you're interested in having me present to an audience near you, email info@drmcselfcare.com. Thanks again. Stay well and do good.
Hello, and welcome. These next 3 minutes are going to be all about your relationship with yourself. I'm going to begin by guiding you through a few self-esteem affirmations, because repeating positive phrases can actually change your subconscious beliefs about yourself. Now, it's okay if this feels a little awkward or even silly at first. That is completely natural. Just do your best to let the words sink in. And then, before you return to the rest of your day, we'll wrap up with a simple exercise to give you a little more confidence and joy. Before we dive in, take a moment to really let yourself settle in. Take a nice, deep breath. Soon, I'll ask you to repeat some phrases that can help you feel more compassion and acceptance for who you are in this moment. So now, please silently repeat these words to yourself. I deserve happiness. And again, I deserve happiness. Letting that really sink in. Now, repeat this phrase silently to yourself. I accept myself for who I am right now. And again, I accept myself for who I am right now. And once again, repeat after me, silently to yourself. I have unlimited potential. And again, I have unlimited potential. Wonderful. Now, begin to consider the rest of your day. What is one small way that you can support yourself and improve your self-esteem?
Maybe you could scroll through your personal photos instead of social media, reminding yourself of all the joy that's in your life. And when you land on something, take a nice, deep breath. Feel free to come back to this meditation whenever you need a little reminder of how wonderful and worthy you are. You'll get a new set of affirmations every time. Until then, take care and peace.